Would you turn with me this morning to Matthew chapter 15? We're in a series of messages that I'm calling Get Real. Anybody ever tell you to get real? Get real. 2 weeks ago, the message was get real about God's Word. You know, the Pharisees had added so many man-made rules to the Word of God, they made it very difficult for God's people. In Matthew 15, the Pharisees were scolding Jesus there at the beginning because his disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate. You know, we discussed that was a ritual cleansing, not what we talk about today, because certainly we want to wash our hands before we eat. We should. We tell our kids and grandkids to do that. But this was something different. It was a ritual that these Pharisees had imposed upon the people. Now, last week we considered the worship of God. Get real about worship. Jesus, he in turn scolded the Pharisees for adding a bunch of rules that were not in God's Word, and they'd made such an outward show of their self-righteousness. And he said there in verse 8, he said, "These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." Jesus then began to teach his disciples about what true holiness is. True holiness is not your ability or my ability to follow rules and regulations that we think keep us holy and righteous. Your holiness and righteousness before God is according to the condition of your heart or your soul. Holiness is not how you look on the outside, but it's how you really are on the inside. And so we pick up there today in verse 10. It says, "He called the people to him and said, 'Hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person.' Then the disciples came and said to me, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?' He answered, 'Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit.' But Peter said to him, 'Explain the parable to us.' And he said, 'Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone." Now he's coming back to what he had discussed earlier about the Pharisees, but his disciples were kind of stunned, you might say, by what Jesus was saying there as he explained that parable to them. But Jesus made no illusions that what he said to the Pharisees wouldn't be very well received, and it wasn't. His disciples, now you got to understand the background of these disciples, they had these old Pharisaical laws embedded into them too, because they had been following Judaism as well. And now Jesus makes the statement to the Pharisees, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, it's what comes out. Still talking about that hand washing issue. It's not an exterior cleansing that helps us to be holy. It's what's in our heart. Now, Jesus, what he said to the disciples was shocking. And they came to Jesus and said, "Do you know the Pharisees were offended at what you said?" I had somebody say that to me one time. It said that I had offended somebody. Well, I'm sorry about that. If I spoke something that wasn't true to God's Word, then maybe it is my fault. But if I was simply saying what God's Word said, then it sounds like a personal problem, right? If you're offended. But evidently the Pharisees, they were offended. But Jesus was transforming the disciples' thinking from being under that burden of Pharisaical rules and regulations into the freedom that they had in Christ. Now, we as the body of Christ sometimes are guilty of that kind of thinking. You know, you need to dress a certain way to come to church. You have to sing the old hymns. You have to use an organ and a piano for your instruments. You shouldn't have anything else. Some say you shouldn't use instruments at all. All of these different things. And, you know, we do it this way because we've always done it that way, and on, obeying really our own rules, our own traditions, without considering what God has said. So how does our thinking, our rules and our traditions and things, how does that line up with what God has already said? Jesus changes our thinking about these things if we'll let Him. And He changes our thinking about these things and others, that things that we do that we believe helps us to be holy. It's not what we eat, or it's not what we don't eat. Jesus said whatever goes into the mouth, it's going to come out later, as far as physical food. External cleaning or things we eat is not the danger here. Remember, He's still going off that thing of the disciples or the Pharisees saying, hey, your disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate. He's still going with that. And He's saying, teaching us, that's not the real spiritual danger here, guys. Our greatest need, the thing that really makes us holy before God, is a changed heart. A changed heart. The Pharisees were so focused on the external that they missed what they really needed the worst. They needed a change of heart, a changed heart. Jesus said, it's not what goes in the mouth that defiles us. It's what comes out of the mouth. He says, because what comes out of the mouth, the speech that comes out of the mouth, proves what is down deep in our hearts, deep into our souls. And Jesus listed several of those things in verse 19. He said, out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander, all these things that would proceed out of a person's mouth or proceed out of their thoughts, that just shows the condition of their heart. So man's greatest need then is not to try to clean his hands or do these external things or try to fix his life on the outside so everybody else can see how good of a Christian I am or how holy I am and what kind of a demonstration of all this that I can be. I'm going to fix things on the outside, make myself look good, when his greatest need is a changed heart on the inside. Dr. Gray Allison, up in Mid-America Seminary, he said, you know, you can take a pig and you can scrub his hide till it's nice and pretty and pink. You can put a diamond earring in his nose and a ribbon around his ears. He said, but at the first mud hole that he sees, he's going to run straight for it and get right back in the muck and mire. And that's very true, is it not? You can clean it up on the outside and make yourself, and I can make myself look like a good, holy Christian, when all I have done, if my heart's not right, all I have done is scrubbed the pig, right? God tells us in His Word to be holy. I think we've lost track of that, haven't we? As a large part, what did God mean when he said, "Be holy as I am holy"? What did he mean by that? Well, holiness, as we're seeing from the teachings of Christ right here, it has to be a change of heart. It begins in the heart, and only Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit can change the heart. Now consider how heart change is brought about. It begins first with Jesus forgiving us of our sins, right? The prophet Ezekiel had spoken of a day when God would cleanse the hearts of his people. It's in Ezekiel 36. And Ezekiel's prophecy of that day would come when Jesus Christ carried our sins to the cross and gave his life and shed his blood for our sins. Amen. Thank God for Jesus, is what I gotta say. The blood of Jesus is what cleanses us from sins and makes us holy in the sight of God, not some man-made ritual that we go through. Heart change also happens when Jesus fills us with the Holy Spirit. Ezekiel's prophecy of the new covenant in Christ also contained the following promise of God. Ezekiel 36:26, he says, "I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you." Only the Holy Spirit can change us from the inside out. Are you listening to me this morning? The only way we can be holy and right with God is to change our on the inside. And that's not something we can do alone. We can't do that. We have to have cleansed by the blood of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6:17, he said, "Come out from among them and be separate." Come out from who? Come out from the world. Come out from those things that would make us unholy. Come out from them, he said, "and be separate, says the Lord." Separate yourselves unto holiness. The only way we can do that is a change of heart. And the only way that we can have a change of heart, a change on the inside, is cleansing by the blood of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. We need that. We need that. We really need that to be right with God. You wonder, you know, and I wonder, why don't we see more of a move of God among God's people? Why don't we see more of the things that we read about in the Bible? How come we're not seeing that God move in those great ways, even as we read the history of the church? How come we don't see that? Well, has God changed? Did we serve a different God than they did back then? No, I think it's largely a matter of holiness. That's why I felt like praying earlier. I said, "God, would you let your Holy Spirit invade our church today?" Wouldn't that be great? God, would you let your power invade the church today? And first, Lord, would you let that invade my life? That's what my prayer is. God, would you let your Spirit, your righteousness, your holiness, would you let your Spirit invade my life today? And if each of us would say that, then God's going to invade the church, right? His Spirit is going to invade the church. J.C. Ryle said, "What is the first thing that we need in order to be Christians?" And he said, "It's a new heart." What is the sacrifice that God asks us to bring to Him? Well, He asks us to bring us a broken and repentant heart. What is genuine obedience? To obey from the heart. What is saving faith? To believe from the heart. Where ought Christ to dwell? To dwell in our hearts through faith. Every one of the answers to those questions, it had to do with the heart, didn't it? Everything revolves around the condition of our hearts. If our need is to nurture holy hearts that have been changed by God's Holy Spirit, then how we witness to the world is clear. Because what the world needs, or what the world doesn't need, is some superficial religion. The world doesn't need the status quo church as they see today. The world doesn't need these things. What the world needs is to see a church that is genuine and true and holy and set apart from the world. Well, this sounds like an old-fashioned message to me, does it not, you? That's what the world needs to see. And the reason they don't see us as any different from the world is because we're not any different from the world. We do all the things they do. We're not separate. We're not bothered by anything. Now, I'm not saying that, you've got to start carrying the Bible and beating people over the head with it out on the street or be a street corner preacher or any of these kind of things. It's all about how we live our lives and what proceeds out of our mouths, isn't it? It's what comes out of our mouth that defiles us. The Pharisees, many who were well respected, but Jesus told them that they were headed for judgment. I mean, these were the who had set themselves apart to the wrong things, really. These were the guys. And Jesus told them, "You're headed for judgment." Verse 13, Jesus said, "These Pharisees were not planted by God. If they had been planted by God, they would have had more of an impact, a true impact." But He says they were not planted by God. And if they were not planted by God, He says, then God's going to come and root them up. And He did, didn't He? They're gone. That first group was, anyway. There's some try to act like Pharisees, and there's Pharisees in the church today, are there not? Some here and there. None here, though, by the way, right? It's not us. Now, before we say that, let's be careful we're not overlooking. Don't judge each other on that. But God said that they would be uprooted. And He also said, here's what's wrong with you Pharisees. He says, not only are you making it hard for God's people, you're leading them down the wrong path. He says, it's like the blind leading the blind. He says, and if you're following what is blind, you're both going to fall into the pit. So, true holiness, it's achieved by the blood of Christ and applied to our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. I wonder if there's anybody here today that's hearing what I just said. Do you hear me? You don't have to say amen. I'm just asking you, and I appreciate that, by the way. That helps me to know if somebody's listening. What the world today doesn't need is they don't need religion. Now, I've never considered Christianity a religion, because you can't lump Christianity into all as just another world religion. See, that's the bad thinking of some Christians today. Says, well, we follow Christ and this is our religion. Some even say that being a Baptist is their religion. But if you lump yourself and myself into just another world religion, we're no different than any world religion, are we not? But you know what makes us different, don't you? We serve a living Savior. All of the founders of all of those other world religions, they're all dead and decayed in the grave. Amen? But our God, our Jesus, rose from the dead. He left an empty grave. He's living today. And how do you know that He's living? Like the song says, He lives in my heart. He lives in my heart. So therefore, we must never be satisfied with superficial holiness that we believe we've gained on our own because we followed all the steps that somebody told us to do. Instead, we want hearts that produce holy lives. Hearts, people who speak that don't defile yourself or defile others. Man, I tell you, when I was studying about this, I really took a look at myself. Had to. You know, sometimes when preachers study for sermons, they get under conviction themselves and have to just stop and get on their knees before God. Because, you know, I'm a bivocational pastor. Y'all know that. I work a job through the week, and I work in a shop with a bunch of guys, and you know how guys are, or how they can be. Right, guys? And before you know it, you know, if some of them are kind of straying off the path a bit, well, you're apt to be pulled that way, see? And you might think or say something that might defile you. And I don't want to say things that defile me. I want to speak what's in my heart. And I want those things to be holy and good. Now, I don't dare want to say that I'm somewhat better or place myself and say that I'm better than they are. You know, they wouldn't do that because they're not as good as I am. No, that's not it. Matter of fact, I thank God that He even saw fit to save me. You know what I mean? Do you agree with me on that? God, thank you that you even saw fit to save me. I could be like anybody else. I could be lost. You know, there's two people, or two sets of people in the world. There's folks who have been saved, and there's folks that are still looking for it. There are saved sinners, and there are lost sinners. Now see, there's some churches that revolve around this whole thing of holiness. You've heard of Pentecostal holiness movement, or somebody will say, I go to a holiness church, which the idea of that may be good, but what kind of holiness are you talking about? Are you talking about some set of rules? Because then if you are, you're going right back to what Jesus spoke against, aren't you? No, all of us as Christians ought to be holy, right? And all of us need to have holy hearts that don't speak things that defile us. Have you heard that today? Has God ever convicted you of anything in your life that needs to be changed? I mean, really changed? He has me. Because if we're going to get serious or get real about God's Word in 2019, we need to have a change of heart, don't we? If we're going to get sincere about our worship of God, we need to have a change of heart. And if we're going to get right about living holy and pure lives and living in obedience before the Lord, then we need to have a changed heart. You say, well, preacher, you know what? I can't do the things I like to do all the time. If I do that, I'll have to sit around. And no, you won't. You can still have a great time and live a holy life, right? You can still have a great time and have a pure life. You can still have a great time living in obedience to the Lord. Don't let the devil tell you that lie. Yes, if you're not saved, that's the first change of heart, right? But if your life looks like the world that Satan controls, then you need a change of heart to direct our attention back to God, right? We do not want to look like the world looks. Because if we look like the world looks and we act like the world looks, then what do we have that the world needs, right? And the world needs Jesus, right? The world needs Jesus. And so let's carry that message to the world, right? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. And while we may look at your word a lot of times and we think, how can we possibly do that? And Lord, you tell us that you've given us that ability by your Spirit that's within us. We have the ability to do that. And God, we'll look at your word sometimes and we'll think, man, there's some things I love to do and I don't really want to give that up. But then, Lord, you show us a better way. You always do. So, Lord, thank you for your great patience with us. Help us, Lord, to have a change of heart. And that can't, we realize, can't be a sudden thing. But, Lord, would you help us to work toward that so that we'll have and we'll be able to demonstrate with our lives that we know Christ and we've got something that the world needs. And the world's desperate for you. Lord, we're desperate for you. We need you. Lord, would you help us? In Jesus' name, amen.